Senator Al Franken announced his resignation today on the Senate floor. Many of Franken's Democratic colleagues called on him to step down yesterday after allegations that he groped several women over the years. He'll officially step down in the coming weeks. Franken's resignation comes at a time when allegations of sexual assault and harassment are definitely in the public eye. In the political sphere, Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore has been accused of pursuing young teenage girls while he was a district attorney in the 1970s. And long-serving Michigan Democratic Representative John Conyers retired earlier this week, facing allegations mostly from former staff members. The list keeps growing, leading people to ask who's next and how does this affect the political landscape. Susan Johnson is an associate professor of political science and the director of the Center for Political Science and Public Policy Research at UW-Whitewater. Susan, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, I want to start with a listen to some of the freshest news here. Senator Franken's speech on the Senate floor announcing his resignation.
Today, I am announcing that in the coming weeks, I will be resigning as a member of the United States Senate. I, of all people, am aware that there is some irony in the fact that I am leaving while a man who has bragged on tape about his history of sexual assault sits in the Oval Office, and a man who has repeatedly preyed on young girls campaigns for the Senate with the full support of his party.
Susan, there's a lot there. Let's start with the basic fact. Senator Franken is resigning. What are your thoughts on this decision?
Well, I think that he was left little choice yesterday when there was word of an additional claim, as well as the fact that several United States senators, members of his own party, female senators in particular, came out and indicated that he should resign, as well as Chuck Schumer, who's the Democratic minority leader. So at that point, I think that the only option Al Franken had was to announce his resignation.
And in the totality of his speech, he was not apologetic, particularly for his behavior. He denied some of the accounts and said he remembered some things differently. And as we heard there, he pointed at Republicans Donald Trump and Roy Moore. What did you make of the content of his farewell address there?
Well, I recognize the irony, but it was wholly inappropriate in my mind for him to include that in his statement. And I think we've seen that not only from Al Franken, but from others in the media and in other areas who have been forced to resign as a result of sexual harassment and sexual assault allegations, that oftentimes the resignation or statement that is made is a non-apology or a non-recognition of what in fact happened. So I don't know why he began that way, but I sort of cringed when I heard that.
I want to dig into some other particular cases in just a bit, but big picture, people are talking about, hey, maybe we're at a turning point here. The standards of behavior, the culture of harassment is going to change. But people have talked about that after the Anita Hill story, when Clarence Thomas was nominated for the Supreme Court, after Senator Bob Packwood, Bill Clinton. A lot of people have thought we've been at a turning point before. Are we at a turning point now?
Well, I think it depends how you define turning point. I would argue that after the situation with Anita Hill and those hearings and the imagery of the panel questioning her being all of those older men, I mean, I can still see that in my mind, that led to the election of quite a few women, females, to Congress and other offices as a result. So was it a turning point then in the context of wholesale change? Obviously not, because we're seeing still a whole lot of sexual harassment and assault going on, but it did bring more women into the process. And I would argue that the more women you have in the process, the greater the force for equality and the greater that these issues will be raised. And so now we've seen this onslaught of people coming forward, and I can't remember a time where we've seen this much attention. This movement also being named Time's Person or Issue of the Year. So I guess it all depends how you define turning point.
Do you expect to see, are you already seeing a lot of women step up to run for office?
Well, actually, this is before all of this began, you know, a month or two ago when the cavalcade started with the cascade started with, you know, Harvey Weinstein and all of that. There were already record numbers of women who had announced for office. And so I think that this will just lead to more.
I want to start getting into some of the politics here. Democrats, Al Franken is out. John Conyers is out. There's another Democratic congressperson in Nevada who is being pressured to leave. And then Democrats are pointing to Republicans, looking at Blake Farenthold in Texas, Roy Moore, and they're pointing to Donald Trump himself as people who have accusations of sexual misconduct of various sorts. What do you make of the politics there?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question because, as you said, there's been several Democrats now who have stepped aside, and yet Roy Moore is still running and leading in the polls. And then there's the issue of, again, what the president has been accused of doing. And so, you know, I've heard different theories on this relative to what Democratic voters see as more important as opposed to Republican voters. The Republican Party seems to have come back around in support of Roy Moore, not in its entirety, but originally you had Mitch McConnell, the majority leader in the Senate, say he had no reason to not believe the women who were accusing Roy Moore, and then indicating that he should perhaps not, you know, continue on in the race. And now we see that his messaging has changed a bit, and we've got more Republicans who are coming around back to support him. So there's a clear difference. And I think that part of the reason, to talk raw politics, part of the reason why Al Franken was pushed out so strongly was because it's really hard to argue against Roy Moore, some people would say, if Al Franken remains in the Senate.
Susan Johnson is with us, Associate Professor of Political Science and Director of the Center for Political Science and Public Policy Research at UW-Whitewater. She is with us to talk about sexual harassment allegations in politics and how it's impacting Congress. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Was it the right decision for Democrats to call on Senator Franken to resign and for him to resign? Are you glad he's stepping down, upset? And what are your thoughts on Roy Moore's campaign for the Senate in Alabama and various reactions from different wings of the Republican Party? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And if you're a woman who's worked in politics at any level, what do you make of the culture when you work there? Do you see a change happening? 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We continue our conversation now about sexual harassment and politics in the wake of Minnesota Senator Al Franken's announcement that he's going to resign from his position in the next few weeks. Susan Johnson is with us, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Was Senator Franken right to step down? Were his Democratic colleagues right to ask him to? How about Roy Moore in Alabama and how national Republicans are changing their approach to him as he does better in the polls? Call in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll go to our callers. Carlton is with us in Green Bay. Carlton, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I wanted to make a comment on the Al Franken thing. This is the first time I've been able to call in and actually listening to your station. I love it.
Thanks.
But as far as Al Franken is concerned, I just think what he did today was so respectful. And I think he respected not only people in Minnesota, but also all of the United States. He believes that we should be at a higher standard. And I honestly believed him that I don't think that his intentions were out of ordinary, that he perhaps did really see things in a different view. But that doesn't change the fact that America's seen it different. And I just found what he did today, just whether he was coached or not, very, very respectful to America and his state.
Carlton, thanks for the call. And Senator Franken, Susan, had made the case that, well, he didn't really do anything wrong, but it's best for the people of Minnesota. The ethics investigation would make it hard for him to do his job as a senator. Carlton sees it as a respectful decision to Senator Franken's constituents.
Well, I think that when you make the decision to resign, particularly if, as Carlton mentioned, Senator Franken doesn't believe that what he did rose to the level or he saw things differently, then leaving at that point was the decision he needed to make and that he felt was important to make for the citizens of Minnesota, as he mentioned in his statement.
Carlton, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Martha in Menominee. Martha, hi.
Hey, how are things across the river there, folks? I love this show.
Thank you. What do you think?
I think Al kind of took one for the team here. He had to, in a way. And it's kind of a long-term strategy. I think Trump and Moore look worse in comparison than, you know, the reflection back on them looks worse. So I think he had to do it immediately, but long-term for the Democrats, too, I think he took one for the team. You know, in Minnesota, I used to live in the Twin Cities, and Franken's always kind of gone on the WWWD, what would Wellstone do, philosophy of politics there. And, you know, in light of that, it was a no-brainer.
Martha, thanks for the call. I want to give Susan Johnson a chance to react. Susan, Martha says Franken took one for the team.
Well, and I think that a lot of people perceive it that way. The Democratic governor, so the replacement that will be appointed, will be a Democrat, so there's not much loss there in terms of for the Democratic Party. They are losing a strong voice. But, I mean, I think that it's important to remember that there are several women who came forward and indicated that there was some inappropriate behavior, and I think we have to keep that in mind as well.
And one case I've seen made when it comes to politics and other spheres, too, is that people are starting to get the message that, hey, nobody's irreplaceable. Maybe Senator Franken, from the Democratic perspective, was a big name, a big fundraiser, but they can do without him, and people are expendable if they violate norms and harass or abuse women.
Yeah, I think that we're learning that as an outgrowth of all of this that's going on, and someone will step in and someone else will take a leadership role in the Senate that perhaps was something that Al Franken held previously. So, yeah, I would tend to agree.
Susan, there are reports that various news outlets are looking at numbers of people in Congress, maybe in the low double digits, looking at stories, reports of possible harassment. No names attached to that yet, so I don't want to speculate on who that might be. But what are you watching for as this story goes on in Congress?
Well, I'm watching to see what happens on the Republican side, because there's been, I would say, swifter action as far as with the Democrats, and there have been some, you know, issues that have come up with the Republicans, and we've not seen that. So I'm kind of curious about if any of those claims are on that side, what we'll see.
Susan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Absolutely.
That's Susan Johnson, Associate Professor of Political Science and the Director of the Center for Political Science and Public Policy Research at UW-Whitewater. She joined us today to talk about the latest news on sexual harassment and national politics, especially in Congress.